When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
BT and Sal back on the fan. Continuing with your calls on the Jets, 888-808-1019. In case you missed anything so far from the show, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Let's talk some Giants here for a second, BT. I was actually surprised to learn that there are Giants. I saw the Dexter Lawrence comments. I forget exactly where that was, but I saw them. He was at a charity event and having some fun. I think Charlotte spoke with him. I forget her last name, but she covers the Giants and spoke with him. And he had had some interesting quotes about, you know, being upset that his best friend on the team, Daniel Jones, going to be benched. I don't think it was as bad as the headline read, like, oh, he was upset about a money thing. Look, this has nothing to do with the I shouldn't say it has nothing to do with the contract, the money for Daniel Jones. It has to do with the fact the Giants are 2-8. Like, anybody who's trying to justify Daniel Jones getting more run, I don't care if it's Dexter Lawrence or any other Giant, they have no legs to stand on. Jones had every opportunity for 6 years. He didn't get the job done. It's over, and it's Tommy DeVito time. Like, that's it. End of story.
Yeah, I respect Dexter putting his name on it. I think that's the first thing that jumped out to me. And you're right, it wasn't as scathing as maybe it's been presented. It was an interesting assessment of how Dexter Lawrence has viewed the situation. There's also some off-the-record comments that obviously have not been attached to names, hence off-the-record, which kind of, you know, paints a bit of a similar picture, which leads me to wonder about the morale of the team. And not that I really care too much about morale when you don't win. I mean, it's interconnected. Generally, when you win, the morale's pretty good. When you lose, the morale goes south. There's always a correlation of performance based on the morale. But if that morale, and I'm not saying that it has or that it will, but it could, if that morale begins to, or decrease in morale begins to morph into something a little more dangerous, like a lack of trust in the organization, then you have bigger problems than what Dexter Lawrence is presenting right now.
Right, and Lawrence was saying basically we've got to be naive. By the way, it was Charlotte Carroll who had it in the Athletic, so it was good stuff from Lawrence. But yeah, like, and I love Lawrence, and reading it wasn't as bad. Like, he feels bad for his best friend, sure, and you want to be naive and think that the team is doing it for the right reasons. They are. I don't think they're out to get anybody. And by the way, like, if the Giants were 8-2, well, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, but let's say hypothetically it came down to, oh, we better bench him because we don't want to be on the hook for the money. No, they gave him the contract. They gave him every opportunity to have the second part of that contract kick in. They tried to win games this year. They said repeatedly when some people were calling for Jones to be benched after week 2 or week 1, whatever it is, they said repeatedly, he gives us the best chance to win games. It's been 10 weeks. They're going into the bye week. Like, enough. So they just lost to the worst team in football. Enough's enough. He had to be benched. Like, there is no argument anymore. There barely was to begin with, but there is no argument anymore for Daniel Jones to be the starting quarterback of the Giants.
No, there's not. I mean, that long ago expired, but you got to look at it from Dexter's perspective. I mean, our perspective, one of the last images that we'll ever have of Daniel Jones as a Giant is in Germany on the flea flicker when he just, for whatever reason, decided not to throw the football when two guys were wide open. And anytime he got past 10 yards the last couple of years, the throws either weren't made or they were woefully off target. Understood. It's over. However, what we don't see, though it's, and I'm going to have Danny's back here a little bit, not that he should play, but just a different perspective. What we don't see is what guys like Dexter Lawrence do see, and that is diligence in the weight room. You know, quarterback, I know that, what does it mean on Sunday? Well, it doesn't mean a lot if he doesn't get your team in the end zone and you lose all the time, which you do under him for the most part. But it's a respect that's garnered in the locker room, especially when you're a quarterback and you've shown a propensity. How did he first get hurt with the neck against Dallas when he lowered his pads at the goal line? There's a lot of film, and film don't lie, all right, where his teammates see him playing almost recklessly, complete disregard for his body, for his own body, and they respect that. That's always going to go far in the locker room. So I don't think that Dexter's saying, you know, wow, he's Patrick Mahomes, but I think he's just standing up for a guy who generally has always tried to do the right thing, and maybe has been a little betrayed by a lack of stability at the coaching spot, bad offensive lines. Again, it's over for Jones. There's no doubt. But
and
I think Lawrence and the guys respect him.
Ultimately, that's fine. They can respect him, but he just wasn't.
And they're standing up for him a little bit.
They're 2-8. Everybody should be benched with that team. I mean, they're fortunate. Now, switching gears to DeVito, like, think about what would the energy at MetLife on Sunday be if Daniel Jones was still the quarterback?
Yeah, you'd have probably 15,000 empty seats.
Okay. Now with
DeVito,
so DeVito, what's the energy going to be like? Already we feel the energy.
There's going to be some juice. Yeah.
There's going to be some juice. There's excitement. Even I want to just watch the games with Tommy DeVito under center as opposed to Daniel Jones. So there's another element that goes into play here. Maybe not just finding out what he could be. And by the way, I think if I give a comp, I thought about this morning with DeVito, like Taylor Heinicke. You know, Heinicke can run around a little bit, sling it a little bit, but he's never going to be like he got an opportunity to be a starter.
Yeah, better one than that.
Yeah. I think that's what DeVito. Well, I know some people think DeVito can be a starter. I hope that he can be. I don't think that that's the case, but I think he could be a serviceable backup for years to come. And I think Heinicke's that guy. You go to the bench, you need to go to the backup quarterback, and you have some energy, and maybe a guy who could win you some games in a season where your starter goes down for a few weeks. Like maybe maybe DeVito can prove me wrong and be a starter, but I'm saying, I think if you project like Tyler Heinicke, that's not a bad thing.
I guess if you're DeVito at this point, I don't know if he would sign up for it now. Certainly, when he first walked into the Giants building as an undrafted free agent, yeah, he would sign up for it at that point. I just want to see how he's progressed. I really do. You know, I don't need the agent shots, and I don't even mom and dad phenomenal.
Yeah,
I can imagine how proud they are. It's great to see the growth, but I don't need to see the shots of the parents. I want to see if DeVito's gotten a little bit better because there was enough intrigue last year where he had pretty good command. He had a little juice, didn't turn the ball over with great frequency, got his team in the end zone a little bit. And, you know, now more familiarity with the playbook, and now here's what happened to DeVito last year. When he first got the nod, he was hoping that he can perform. Now he knows, at least on some level, he knows because he's done it, that he can perform. And that conviction, that awareness is a powerful tool. It helps you train during the offseason. It certainly helps you now when you get into a game because now you know that you believe in yourself, which means there's probably other guys on the team who believe in you, and last year they weren't sure. So even if he's gotten 15, 18, 20% better, I'm intrigued to watch DeVito play, and I don't think he's gotten worse. I think he's gotten a little bit better.
And the better pieces around him as well this year, so we'll see what he can do. BT and Sal on the Fan, continuing with your calls, Giants and the Jets. Let's get to John and Danbury. What's up, John?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Now that we have moved on from one piece of garbage to probably a little less garbage play, it is going to be exciting for the fans just because it's different and we're just tired of seeing what has been put out there on the field. But my question for you guys moving forward, we're seeing a few teams do better with retread quarterbacks. You know, Baker Mayfield, he's kind of had ups and downs, but he's been a serviceable quarterback. You know, Darnold has been out there. I know Kirk Cousins hasn't been great. But do you guys think it's better to build this team moving forward with a retread and build around this person? Or do you think it's better to kind of roll the dice on another first-round draft pick and potentially have a situation down the road that's similar to the Cowboys where you have all this talent, but you might not win it in the end?
I think it's a good question, John. I think it depends how the Giants finish the season. If the Giants win a couple of games, not that, again, that I would necessarily view DeVito as the starter next season, but if they rip off two or three wins and it really impacts where they're going to draft, now you'd have to weigh, like they did a year ago when we saw it on Hard Knocks, the merits of moving up. And if you see, for a bad team, and they're bad, they don't have a lot of talent, for a bad team to give up so much equity to move up and get a young kid who may or may not be the answer, I don't necessarily think that that's the answer. Now, if you're one or two, or even if you're three and the Jaguars want to trade out and you want to move up one slot, all right, and you love the kid, go for it. Trust your football convictions. But they've got to sprinkle in more talent around this roster. So the more picks you give away, the less chance you have to do that.
Yeah, it really is a great question. Like, would you rather be the Cowboys, who are going to get a real coach next year, or a different coach? All due respect to McCarthy. Different coach next year and probably run it back, I would think, with Dak Prescott.
Like, oh, you got the contract, Dak. Yeah, he's definitely going to run it back.
Well, so I'm saying, like, there was some speculation that Deion would take over with Shador.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Like, there's some thought to that. And you know, all right, or maybe they trade Dak. Like, Dak would be appealing to other teams. Anyway, would you rather be in the Cowboys position or the Patriots position, let's say?
I think I'd rather be in the Patriots position because now I can really start to formulate my roster the way that I need to. I think I've got the quarterback,
right?
And now I kind of build things in.
I'm saying, like, we don't know that Drake May is going to be the answer, but there's hope based on what we've seen.
Yeah, there's some signs.
He can be the guy.
Sure.
And now you have, it's going to take a while to build it around him, and maybe by that time, then you have to pay him more. Like,
yeah,
And then with Dak, like, the Cowboys have had success. This year has been obviously the aberration. This is just the aberration, but they've went, you know, 12 games every year. They're in the postseason, but they can never get over the hump. By the way, you could say the same thing about Josh Allen and the Bills. They haven't gotten over the hump either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the expectation has always been Super Bowl. Well, they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl yet with Josh Allen. Maybe this is the year. Maybe it isn't. So they have the young quarterback that they drafted and developed, and yet here we are. So I don't know. It's a tough question. I would not, me personally, I don't want a Kirk Cousins type.
Mm-hmm.
To be the answer to and hope to get me to a Super Bowl. That is not the answer.
Yeah, but there is value, and you know, I think it's an individual thing. There is value in a Kirk Cousins type that gets you out of hell and at least kind of moves you into the direction of football relevance. And, you know, I think what complicates this, because you mentioned Drake May and the Patriots. Now, I get it. Like Yankee fans, that expiration of championships, I'm sure they're calling the stations up there, the Hub and the other ones out. You know, what's going on? What are we going to win? And it's almost like a lack of appreciation for all the championships that they have. And we hear that from Yankee fans sometimes. I get that as well. I get it. You're a champion. We expect to win. They haven't won for a while. But you can at least rebuild up there if it's proven to be at least the early signs that it's an effective rebuild, Sal. Rather, and now contrast that to the Jets and the Giants. Now, at least the Giants have a couple of Super Bowls somewhat recently, and they've been a better franchise than the Jets. But a rebuild here, there's no recent equity, and that's where the fans start getting impatient.
Rob is in Hawthorne. What's up, Rob?
What's up, guys? I was just telling the great Pete Hoffman this when I called in. BT, you said the Jets are legend killers, and they are, but they're also potential killers. So All this talk about hiring Aaron Glenn to be the next head coach, one, it's what they do all the time. You hire a defensive coordinator with no head coaching experience. Then they're going to draft the quarterback in the first round from USC. Both will fail. They'll be back to back to square one after 5 years. And this isn't saying bad about Sam Darnold, because look what he's doing in Minnesota. It's just, when you come here, if you're a legend, you are bad. And when you get drafted and you come here to start your career, you're also bad. So their best chance is to do like a, Sal, you said you want to do a retread.
How about an exorcism? Can we do that?
Yeah, I'll do anything at this point, but they're never going to draft a quarterback and have him become like the next great franchise guy.
Nah, you don't know that. Like, yeah, you don't know that, Rob. You don't know that.
I know it by 42 years of experience. Fine. I know what I see with my own eyes for the past however long I've been watching the team. I feel like the best bet is to get a retread. And I don't even know, like you said, I don't even know where to start going for a coach. They hired Adam Gase instead of Mike McCarthy. Hire someone with any head coaching experience. Even if it doesn't work out like McCarthy in Dallas, at least you're saying, hey, we did the right thing for once. We changed our horrible habits for once and see where it goes from there. What else can we say at this point with this team?
That part I'm with you. You've got to change the path that you take. You know, and listen, retreads or stopgaps or bridge QBs, it's funny because my favorite season of all time for the Jets, even more so than the 2 years with Rex, was 98. Who was the quarterback? He was a retread.
Right.
That was Vinny.
Well,
that's Vinny. And Vinny was good for us.
Is
really
he talking
good.
Head coach retread or quarterback retread?
And he's kind of going with the quarterback there.
Okay.
He's talking about the quarterback retread.
Yeah, but I still think they need an experienced head coach. Like, the quarterback to me is secondary when we're talking about the Jets right now. It's primary with the Giants. It is not the primary thing with the Jets right now.
Mm-hmm.
They need to figure out the structure of the organization.
Yeah.
And for once, maybe, just maybe, they hire the right combination of general manager and head coach. And I believe they, of all the teams, need an experience, no doubt about it, tandem, at the very least head coach,
mm-hmm.
to run the show. That's what they need. Then from there, me personally, I would have Rodgers coming back, but I could understand why he's not going to come back. I think it's a mistake, but why people wouldn't want him back. You're going to have to get a stopgap quarterback because you're not just going to transition to a new guy. They're going to screw it up again because they always have screwed it up. I'm just hoping, BT, that they finally hire. It could be a retread guy. I just want somebody with some kind of experience to be the head coach and then go from there.
The more I think about this, Sal, I really think for me it's got to be Vrabel. It's got to be Vrabel. Because think about Mike's, first of all, he's on ice this year in terms of head coaching. So he's coming back and he's revitalized. And he's still young. You know he's going to be certainly passionate. He's going to have a presence. That's going to be amplified because he's all hopped up after sitting on ice for a year or so. And the other thing, too, is, you know, unlike some of these other coaches that have only won with great quarterbacks. Now, I know he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he won, you know, 10, 11 games, as I've said a few times, with Ryan Tannehill. Now, he also had Derrick Henry, I get it, and a pretty good offensive line. But it was kind of a meat and potatoes presentation, a lot like Rex. In a lot of ways, Mike Vrabel won like Rex Ryan won here. Average quarterback play. Defense was better with the Jets, but the offense, was, you know, running game was better with the Titans. And a fiery, no-nonsense guy who's younger. And, you know, I just go the younger route? Well, that's why I like Vrabel. Like, again, Belichick's never coming here. Gruden, all right, I'm not saying I wouldn't be a little interested, but I'm saying right now, I don't think he's the ultimate answer. I think Vrabel's the guy. I really do.
Carroll,
nah, too old. I don't want Pete.
How old is Carroll again?
74. And not to, hey, I don't want to be an ageist guy, but okay. I don't want Pete Carroll.
Let me ask you something. And I know this wouldn't be a popular name, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It would be right. And as a matter of fact, the Giants missed out years ago. 65 too old for you? For a head coach?
No.
How about a combination of, you brought this name up before, Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith. Now, it's not going to be popular. It's not going to be sexy. And it wasn't sexy when they got hired in Atlanta. They are the exact type of combination that the Jets need. And by the way, I don't even know if, like, Mike Smith, I think he's retired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
I can't get excited about that. Dimitroff, more than him, though. Mike Smith.
Yeah, I know you're not going to get excited about it, but guess what? He's a very good head coach. He's exactly what they need.
How long has he been out of the game?
Probably a little while now.
Has it been like 7 years?
I don't know about out of the game.
In terms of a coach, head coach.
Yeah, head coach was with Atlanta. And 2014 was the last time.
But it's been 11 years by the time he comes up to the podcast.
He was coaching after that.
I mean, there's only one dig for me. I know. Nah, I'm not interested in Mike Smith.
Okay, then keep going with the losers that they continue to hire.
No, I just gave you Mike Vrabel, who's younger and has actually coached 2 years ago.
Mike Smith is much more established and successful. And the reason why I also bring him up is not only do I know that they would be a good tandem, also you're talking about Thomas Dimitroff. They've worked together well before.
And that's a name that's been floated.
Yeah, and he's a guy I would hire, no question about it. So, I mean, look, who knows? Maybe they go with an unproven tandem. If you're looking for a tandem that has experience, you look for sexy. Look, Mike Smith was a no-name hire when Atlanta hired him after Bobby Petrino quit on the team and Mike Vick was thrown in jail. He took that team in dire straits. Like, you won't find a franchise in a more pathetic, desperate state than what Dimitroff and Mike Smith took over the Atlanta Falcons.
There's one. There is one. The Jets.
No, it's not.
Come on, the team that we're talking about today.
Yeah, unless Rodgers does something, you know, a dog fighting ring that we don't know about. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. You know what song this is, by the way?
I don't.
Okay, this is Nicki Minaj. It's a different version of a Biggie song, but it's Nicki Minaj, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I forget the name of it. I'm bad with names or something. Yeah, Barbie Dream. There you go. Dove's all over it.
Is her prompter still broken?
No, that was Cardi B.
Oh, it was Cardi B.
Come on, man.
That's right. My bad.
Speaking of which, we had Stu in Brooklyn on the line before. He was a big Cardi B fan. I would have gone to her before. Anyway, we got 3RQ coming up in just about 10 minutes or so.
Let's get back to good one today? So we'll cook up
some good one? No, I have to go in my reservoir. Usually I have a list of stuff that just happens during the week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Give me three crazy ones today.
Three crazy ones?
I don't know. I'm in the mood to...
I'll see what I can do. You want to branch out a little bit?
Yeah, why not?
And why don't we, at like 12:20, why don't we talk about Christmas plans?
we might have to. I sent you a text there. I just got to make sure I can because
tis the season. Holiday season. What can go wrong? Friends, family.
Guess who's coming over for Christmas? Everybody.
Oh, baby. All right. Matt is... Hey, one thing I'm going to enjoy about this holiday is Tommy DeVito. Matt is in Howard Beach. What's up, Matt?
Matty.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Good morning. Big fan. Just wanted to point something out here. Just looking at something the other night. Over the last two seasons, Tommy DeVito and Aaron Rodgers have the same amount of wins. Great.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I didn't even look at it that way, but thanks for the statistical correlation.
Sorry, BC. I know you're a big Jet fan. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All you need to know is that Zach Wilson was head of a winning team last year, more so than Aaron Rodgers. Like, that shows you that those stats are kind of meaningless. It's sad, it's depressing, but it's not the ultimate be-all, end-all when you're evaluating the quarterbacks. Anyway, go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, and that too, like, to watch every week and to think that there was actually more hope of winning a game with Zach Wilson, who's so maligned by everybody, than, you know, a great like Aaron Rodgers. And listen, I get it. He's not 25 anymore. It is what it is. But just to see where they are now, it's just sad.
It's stunning. It's just sad. I think it's beyond sad. And thanks for the call there, Matt. It is definitely sad. And unlike a lot of other Jet misery, it's unexpected. I mean, really. Now, you can say, well, I didn't think the Jets were a Super Bowl team going in, and you weren't buying all that hype. But there's no way, unless Rodgers went down game one again, nobody saw this.
No. I was going to say, like, even though I didn't believe in them to the level that a lot of other people did, I don't think anybody could have anticipated being this bad this soon. Falling short of the playoffs, maybe. Firing everybody at the end of the year, maybe. The way that this has gone, a non-season, basically 5-6 weeks in, and we talked about it week two. You and I both came on the air Tuesday.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, I guess, after the San Francisco beating and said, hey, it's just one game.
We did.
Let's not overreact. It wasn't good for the defense. We know that. But this is the Niners, and we thought the Niners were something different then, even with the backup running back, whatever. We saw them gash the Jets. But we came on. There were signs there in that game that Rodgers could still throw the football. I had more hope after that game than defeat because of who they were playing and because it was just week one. But week two, things started to turn because even in the win, you were at the game in Tennessee.
In Tennessee, yeah.
They did not look good right out of the gate and were fortunate. And that, to me, was the first uh-oh of the year, even with the win.
I really believe if Will Levis was just slightly better, they would have lost that game as well. I mean, honestly, like, being there, I couldn't believe how ineffective they were running the ball, throwing the ball. They had that nice wheel route or whatever it was to Breece Hall. Can you dust off that play? Remember that? Can you use it again? It doesn't even matter at this point. But, yeah, I remember getting on the flight home, and I'm like, all right, you need a win. We know the Patriots will stink, so I was expecting 2-1, and the Jets played their best game a few days after that against the Patriots. But, no, that Tennessee game was eye-opening. I'm going to stop short of using the word alarming because they did win, and it was early. But in hindsight, and even in real time, it was definitely a bit eye-opening.
Ed is in Marlboro, New York. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing? I want to talk about the Giants situation. I know you're big on this Tommy DeLuca. I understand that. But he was
DeVito.
That good. Tommy, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's Tommy DeVito.
He was that good.
DeVito, Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeLuca. Okay, here we go.
There we go. Anyway, wow. If he was that good, why would they bring in Drew Lock? Why wouldn't they make him the backup? Why is he even there?
Well, first
he's
of all,
been from two camps. Mm-hmm. They should know what they have.
Well, Ed, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in making progress in any form of life? You do, right?
Yep.
Okay, it's a fairly basic concept. Maybe he's actually gotten a little bit better. You know, maybe since camp. And by the way, he played pretty well during camp. But maybe they just, you know, they didn't, when camp started, he played well. They didn't know that he would do that. They're like, we need a backup in case he goes down or Jones isn't ready. And Locke is 28, played a little more football. And then as the year progressed, maybe he just got a little bit better.
I mean, they even said, though, that the best chance of winning was Danny Dimes there.
No. Lou, you could call him Tommy DeLuca. You can't call him Danny Dimes, and thank you for the call. I'm okay with DeLuca. I'm okay with Danny DeVito.
Danny Dimes.
You can't call Daniel Jones Danny Dimes
I got
anymore.
A new one for you. Forget about Danny Dimes. How about Danny Destitute? He went from having money. He's poor. Danny Destitute.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean.
Come on. That's pretty good.
He's fine. I don't know what destitute means.
Of course.
Can you explain that to me?
I just did. Destitute means poor.
Like, he's not poor.
Without penny. In the football sense.
Oh, okay,
he didn't have dimes in his helmet either when he was playing.
Oh, now I got
and
it.
Mr. Literal's showing up today.
No,
jeez.
Sorry. No, I didn't know what destitute meant in this term.
I say this a bit of a reach. You're a man of intellect. Did you at least appreciate the Danny Destitute? You know, you didn't appreciate that either.
Not even close.
Maybe Dove did. Dove's looking at me. No, Danny Dimes, Danny Destitute. Yeah. You guys suck. Every one of you.
I thought Danny Dunn was okay.
Danny Dunsky, Danny Destitute.
There you go. All right. Danny Dimes, I mean.
Danny Deplorable. No, he's not deplorable.
Danny DeLuca. And maybe Danny DeLuca. Here's the reason why you stick with Tommy DeVito. You don't know what he is. Like, it took them, I don't want to say it took us, because it didn't take us 6 years, but it took them 6 years to figure out what Daniel Jones is. So how do you really know what DeVito is? Okay, undrafted, so he's not going to project to be a long-term starter. Maybe he could be. Maybe he won't. Who knows? But they're going to find out, and they want to see what he could be. Maybe he could be a viable backup in the NFL. And we know he's going to bring some excitement because he's got the intangibles. Mm-hmm. The reason why they brought in Drew Lock is, what happened if Daniel Jones were to get hurt in week 5 and the Giants were 2-3 and the season was still, you know, whatever, week 6 and they're 2-4?
Yeah.
You're going to Drew Lock. You're not going to DeVito. They're going to DeVito here because, A, the season is over. B, they want to evaluate what they have. C, it's going to bring an excitement to the fan base. Drew Lock, there's no need. You know what he is. He's a backup. There's no need to evaluate him, and he's not going to bring anybody any excitement.
All right, but, okay, so let's say, Dove, I'm going to ask Dove this question real quick. How many more years do you think Boomer does this? I'm putting you on the spot. Give me an amount. You'll see where I'm going.
6.
Okay.
Dovey Destitute. All right. We like it.
Dovey on the spot. Boomer is, all right, so we'll give him 6 more years, right? So let's say when Boomer is ready to retire on his own volition and go and be, you know, Boompa and, you know, and count the money and play some golf and do what he's done. He's earned himself an amazing life. After 6, 7 years, whatever it is, at Boomer's discretion, Boomer retires. So they've got to find somebody new for the morning show. Mm-hmm. And they give somebody big money to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And as soon as they do it, they're like, I don't know if this is the right fit. He's not working great with Gio or...
Let's say, yeah, exactly. Let's say David Lee Roth. Dove, you took the words right out of my mouth.
There you go. David Lee Roth, the sports radio version of David Lee Roth.
Yeah,
good pull
right,
there.
Right.
I got you. And it's not working out. And on the weekend, again, 6 years from now, you got some young scrappy kid who's just, you know, cobbling shifts together, making peanuts, perfecting his craft, and he's got juice. He opens up the mic, and he sounds good, and he's got stones, and he's a little more polished than you would think for his age. And, you know, but even though management would know that they possibly, or not possibly, that they did hire the wrong person to replace Boomer, are they going to pull the kid from the weekend and throw him right next to Gio? The answer is no.
Right.
So where you're drafted, how you're perceived early, and where you're positioned early is paramount to how quickly you get a shot. And conversely, if you're given that big launch pad of guaranteed money and guaranteed years and the keys to the kingdom of the offense, you're going to get a longer leash to fail. That's what happened to Danny. It didn't take them 6 years to figure out that he ain't it. They just had to deal with their mistake. They knew that he wasn't it. They knew. I bet you they knew probably 30-40% when they gave him the contract. But they were in such a pinch. They're like, all right, we know he's got limitations. He can't really throw
downfield. I don't think the owner knew.
Okay, well, I'm forgetting about the owner for a second. I'm talking about Shane and Dable. There is no way that those two men looked at each other, you know, over a couple of scotches when Mara's not there, and they said, this kid's unreal. No. There's no way that was said.
They're thinking maybe they could win some games like they did a couple of years ago, their first year. Maybe they could win some games with it while waiting to find out who their next guy was going to be. That's the ideal situation. Build the foundation. Win some games until you find the guy you think is going to be your franchise quarterback, whether it be in the draft. And then you're not chasing necessarily. Like, okay, you're not going to have top picks, but you could be smart about it, when to trade up and strike, when to draft one maybe in the later rounds, when to find one via trade or whatever it may be. They didn't have that opportunity because Daniel Jones hasn't been able to win in the last couple of years. Couldn't stay healthy last year, and they failed. This year, he was healthy, and they failed. They're 10 games. He's 2-8. Record is what it is.
I agree, but you do agree with the premise that yes. You know, he got more runway because of where he was drafted yes. In the contract, and somebody on the side like DeVito, who's just scrounging and trying to piece together a career, it'd take a little while to get a real legitimate look and respect.
And now DeVito, the undrafted kid, because of what he did last year, now he's going to get a real opportunity. This is a real opportunity for him. We could have our guesses as to what he's going to be, what he is, but for him, the whole world is out in front of him, and this is his opportunity, and he needs to make the most of it and take the league by storm and make them second guess what they thought of him originally. Yep. Or initially saying, oh, all right, undrafted, and you're just going to be a backup or a third string guy. He's got to make them question, holy crap, maybe we do have a starter. Now it's on him. He's got the opportunity. Now he's got to go out there and do it.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, here we go, BT. A little 3RQ as we always do. Wednesday at 11:40. Number one, how much do you weigh?
I'd say right now, I have not checked a little bit. I feel pretty good where I'm at. I feel a little thicker around the belly. I'd say right now, I'm probably 220.
Ooh, okay. And you're tall, though. You're what, 6'5"?
No, 6'5".
How tall
are
you?
I am.
Because I'm so short.
Well, I'm now, I would say, probably 6'2". I lost about a quarter of an inch when I had the back surgery. No joke.
Okay, right.
But I was never really 6'3".
You and Hoff are the same
No, Hoff is a little taller than me.
Really?
And Hoff is definitely bigger than me. I'm probably about 220,
well,
221.
This was not on my, I'm 200 right now. I got to lose at least 10 pounds, maybe 15.
Okay.
But this was not on the original question, but we were just having a fascinating conversation during the break, and I wanted to get Hoff's thoughts here because we were looking at Hoff, who is wearing a free double XL. Like, sometimes people send stuff here and drop off stuff
all the time.
And we leave it out in the newsroom up for grabs. And I'm like, oh, I can't use this. It's nice, but it's a double XL. It doesn't fit me. And I'm like, Hoff, that's all you. And then we were noticing that he's got one of those new ones on from Pace University today.
Yeah.
And it's kind of snug. And then the conversation of how much do you weigh came up. Hoff, what are we at? 280? Where are we at?
Higher. I'm not proud of this either. Don't make this out like I'm excited about this.
Why are you doing this to him? He didn't even want to give us the answers off the air. Well, are you going to make him do it on the air?
Because we're having a good segment off the air. I want to take it on the air.
I'm over three, and that's not very... I'm not
You're
happy
over
about
three?
Yes.
Wow. Three what?
Three and a lot of change.
Like, what's your career high? What were you weighing in it?
See, I don't know the career high because I lost a ton of weight before I started getting on the scale, but I know I maxed out at 330 at one point.
You have 330?
See, I maxed out at 330. I used to be like 230. God. What was your max? You were probably always in shape, right, because you were an athlete.
I was, but there was a point, I'd say about 10 years ago, right before I had back surgery, where I was still kind of eating the way I ate. Metabolism was slowing down based on my age.
I'm
around 40. And I think I got up to 244. I'm like, wow. Like, that's unacceptable for me.
And Hoff, you're working
that's
out.
That's what I weighed in high school. Every year, notoriously 244.
Are you working out now, Hoff?
As far as like going
like, exercise. Do you exercise at all?
Going to the fridge.
I asked him the same question. And he basically said he's never worked out. And I'm like, in your life?
I've never. Well, I mean, going kickboxing is not really working out to me.
Well, it is if you go often. If you go once, it's not.
No, I mean, I would go training a lot. I mean, I haven't gone consistently in about 2 or 3 months. I was in karate for a few months, and then I just haven't had time.
You know, sometimes my wife will take shots at me if she's like, again with the chips, or like, can you save some for me? Yeah, sometimes if she sees me getting a little carried away.
Yeah, I never get that.
I don't appreciate it.
I never get that.
But it does do the work. Like, I'm like...
Put them down?
Yeah, like, a part of me, in spite, is like, no, I'm going to continue to eat these. But the other part of me is like, she's right. I shouldn't be... Hop, your wife, of course, is supportive.
I mean, she basically tells me, that my life is an emergency and that I'm pretty close to dying.
Oh, jeez. Well, I mean, listen, if it's any consolation, at least he is the Bam Bam Bigelow of sports radio. He might be a little thick, but he's nimble.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of nimble.
He can move.
Yeah,
come on, let's clean it up. Maybe we should have some kind of show contest where we can lose some weight here, see who could drop the pounds. How you weighing in these days?
Man, don't count me in. I'm good.
Yeah, all right. Well, the three of us then. You can monitor
go for it.
I'm at the 202 now.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Probably the heaviest show on the station.
You think so? My rash is pretty heavy. Sean's big.
Yeah, but
Lugie's really thin.
He's losing, though.
Evan and Tiki are in shape.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Three of us here over two. You're over 200, too, but you're at least in shape for your.
Yeah, I guess about 220.
Yeah. No, I got to drop at least 10, 15. All right.
Okay.
Second one. What'd you do with that picture of Mercedes that you took?
Me? Nothing. Why?
You know which one I'm talking about?
I don't.
Because I keep seeing Mercedes on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course. But she was in. Yeah. Mercedes right before the fight.
Yeah. She was on it.
What do you think? I stared at it at night? I mean, what do I do with it?
I don't know. I didn't see it posted. I don't know.
Oh, wait, see, because I didn't post it, you want to know what I'm doing with it?
No, I just thought it was funny how she was here, and we were doing a break, and I'm like, hey, can everybody get a picture, whatever, you're like, hey, let me get a picture, and then it was just...
Oh, wait, so was I supposed to send it to you guys?
No, I just don't know. Hoff, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Can I be honest with you? I've never seen that ever happen in my entire life. There was legitimate Mercedes is sitting down next to the mic, and you asked to take a picture of her. And I'm expecting you to go in the shot with her.
With her.
Okay. You legitimately, she just sat there and you just took a picture of her.
I don't remember doing that.
I do.
I thought you were going to put, but no, we were having some fun.
It was nothing weird.
I promise you that. No, I know. I was just joking around because I see her on Instagram all the time.
I
can't get enough of Mercedes.
When is she coming back, by the way? This picture, I'll get in the picture with her this time. Woo!
She was such a good sport. We had to vote with it.
She's great.
That was just a throw in. All right. Last one for you here. This one might take some time, some thought. Favorite, I wrote my answers down to maybe give you a little breathing room.
Well, by the way, this will fit my wheelhouse because, as people know, I very rarely get to the point. I just kind of go on and on. So if this should take some time, I'll feel right at home.
Favorite female character in a movie? So it's not just like your favorite actress, like whatever, Jennifer Aniston, but your favorite female character from that movie. I'll give you one example.
Yeah, I got to think about this a little bit. Go ahead. I got to think about this.
Mila Kunis for me in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I love her.
Although I'm going the other way.
Which way is that?
Forget her name. I'm forgetting her name. Kristen Bell.
Oh.
It's the same movie. Now, I'm not saying she's number one, but since that's the first point of reference.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Kristen Bell in that movie?
Yeah, see, I would always go with Mila Kunis in that one. I'm going to give you another one.
Let me see
and
here.
This is a TV
this
show.
This could devolve into, this should be interesting.
Well, I figured this was a good one. This is the main event. I want to get those other two out of the way. Do you watch Yellowstone? Did we go over this?
I've watched a few episodes. I it's awesome. I love it, but I'm not all in, and I should be.
You watch?
I haven't yet. Oh. I've heard about it. That's great.
Beth Dutton?
I know who she is.
Dude.
The volume. Doesn't that say it all? Dude.
And she's
like, there's
even,
like, dude, and then there's dude. In
the show, she may be one of the sexiest characters of all time. Like, that's how... Now, again, I'm 45, so I'm not going to go back
many years.
And I'm sure I'm forgetting some great ones, but her in this show, her character, oh, man.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to always trot out, you already named her, O-Reliable, but I'll give you a specific movie. I'll even give you a specific scene. Jennifer Aniston in the breakup.
Oh.
When she's walking down the hall and she drops the towel to make him jealous.
With Vince Vaughn?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah, see a little twinkle?
All right, I'm going to give you one more. You can think of
your Dolph laughed at that one, by the way.
He did. He has no idea what it means, but yeah.
Hey, this is what happens when you're married.
It's a long time ago. Think of it. She's pretty now. That was a long time ago. Think how it looked then.
There was one, too, and maybe this is an unpopular movie or maybe just not a mainstream movie, and I've referenced this all the time. I think it's called I Think I Hate My Wife.
It's a rerun. It's a daily basis rerun.
Come on.
No, that's not right. I mean, come on.
Come
it's
on,
the name
man.
Of the movie. Hoff, come on.
Is it a horror movie? Cornicle. Is it...
No, it's Chris Rock is in it, and Kerry Washington.
Oh.
Okay.
And as you know from Scandal.
Of course.
She's married to Namdi Asomugh.
I know.
Okay, and I'm just making sure everybody...
We've never heard of her. Of course we know who she is.
Yeah.
What she looks like.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What did I say it was? I think I love my wife. I screwed that up. Oh, jeez, that's my bad.
When Sal hits Hollywood, that's his parody on the movie. It's the exact opposite.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. How do you mess the name up? That is hysterical.
It's 2007. I Think I Love My Wife. Kerry Washington in that movie.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. She might actually be number one over Mila Kunis. That's how good that was. You got to check that out.
I got an off-the-radar one for you. Now, it's also the character. And she's no longer with us, which is sad.
Mm.
Brittany Murphy in 8 Mile.
Oh, dude.
You with me?
Yes.
There we go.
And I remember the scene, too.
Woo!
Yes, you're an idiot.
At the factory?
Oh, yeah, no, I know. Jeez.
I haven't seen this guy so excited since he thought he was getting Yamamoto.
Yes, because that was the point of this segment. You had a great poll. Hop, you remember that scene?
I never watched 8 Mile.
What? What a buzzkill. That's like the knife hits the plate. What? You see 8 Mile.
No interest, dude. Ugh. I'm into watching horror movies. I can give you
You've
a laundry
list. Seen 8 Mile. I saw it 3 times in the theaters when it came out.
I saw it when I lived in Detroit.
That's sick.
I got news for you. Kim Basinger coming out of the trailer wasn't that bad in that movie either. We're going to keep going here? I mean, how far are we going to push this thing out?
Have you seen that scene in 8 Mile?
He didn't see it.
I'm sorry. I figured that. I figured as much, but... Nah, you might be right. That might trump them all.
She was in a romantic comedy as well with Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher. Thank you. And
he's thinking about someone else now. Jennifer Aniston still.
I know. Newlyweds. They were in Europe and they went on a trip.
Yeah. She was in that too.
There was a minute like Brittany Murphy was on the list.
Great pull. Great pull.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it.
Saw that. Reminding you one time.
The first inspiration of Haktua.
Hey, you want more than sports talk? You got it.